Да.
Shri Sri Radha Krishna Gopagopadas Kama from the Radha Vidhi Duradhan Hijai Shri Vrindavan Dham Hijai Navaradhan Hijai Yau Juna Tosti Vidhi Hijai Nathapati Vaishnava Hijai Samavetta Bhakta Vidhi Hijai All Prakta Nandi All Prakta Samadha Bodhi 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 Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisheshanivani Paratapravesharane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasti Gaurabhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Sri Bhaktisgyana Srimadam Chapter 26 Pache Vitoyam
Vitoyam
Sardo
Sarito
Niyati
Niyati
Parasparam
Tarasade
Niranda Asadya
Asadya
Davamche
Rajani
Agni
Tapto
Nirvidyate
Nirvidyate
Vasa
Yakshaya
Pritasu
Pritasu
Vachet Vitoya Sarito Vyati
Vachet Vitoya Sarito Vyati
Parasparam Chala Shate Niranda Sometimes
Doya
without depth of the water. Sarita rivers. Translation, sometimes the condition soul jumps into a shallow river or being short of food grains, he goes to beg food from people who are not at all charitable. Sometimes he suffers from the burning heat of household life, which is like a forest fire, and sometimes
He becomes sad to have his wealth, which is dear as life, honored by kings and then pay income taxes. Her Pope, when it's hot, Jesus is parching his son, and sometimes jumps into a river to get relief. However, if the river is almost dried up and the water is too shallow, one may break his bones by jumping in. The conditioned soul is always experiencing miserable sometimes. His efforts to get help from friends are exactly like jumping into a dry river. By such actions, he does not derive any benefit, he only breaks his bones. Sometimes suffering from a shortage of food from any little person who is neither able to give charity nor willing to do so. Sometimes one is stationed in household life, which is compared to a forest fire. When a man is heavily taxed by the government, he becomes very sad. Heavy taxation obliges one to hide his income, but despite this endeavor, the government is often so vigilant and strong that they take all the money away, and the conditioned soul becomes very aggrieved. Thus, people are trying to become happy in the material world, but this is like trying to be happy in a forest fire. No one needs to go to a forest to set it ablaze. The fire takes place automatically. Similarly, no one wants to be unhappy in family life or worldly life, but by the laws of nature, unhappiness and distress are forced upon everyone. To become dependent on another's maintenance is very degrading. Therefore, according to the Vedic system, everyone should live independently. Only the sudras are unable to live independently. They're obliged to serve someone for maintenance. It is said in the Shastras, Kalo Sudra Sambhava. In this age of Kali, everyone is dependent on another's mercy for the maintenance of the body. Therefore, everyone has classified the sudra. In the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that in Kali Yuga, the government will levy taxes without reciprocally benefiting the citizens. Anavrishya vinam shanti durviksha kita. In this age, there will also be a shortage of rain, therefore scarcity of food will arise, and citizens will be very much harassed by government taxation. In this way, the citizens will abandon their attempts to live a peaceful life, and will leave their homes and hearts and go to the forest in ships. Text 7, sometimes being defeated or plundered by a superior, powerful agent, living in it, loses all his possessions. He then becomes very morose and lamenting their losses. He sometimes becomes unconscious. Sometimes he imagines a great palatial city in which he desires to live happily with his family members and riches. He thinks himself fully satisfied if this is possible, but so-called happiness continues only for a moment. Therefore, the word Gandharapuram is very significant in this verse. Sometimes in the forest, a very big castle appears, and it's called a castle in the sky, or air. Actually, this castle does not exist anywhere but in one's imagination. It's called Gandharapura. In the material forest, the conditioned soul sometimes contemplates great castles and skyscrapers, and wastes his energy for such things, hoping to live in them very peacefully with his family forever. However, the laws of nature do not allow this. When he enters his castles, he temporarily thinks he is very happy, even though his happiness is impermanent. His happiness may last for a few years, but because the owner of the castle has to leave the castle at the time of death, everything is eventually lost. This is the way of worldly transactions. Such happiness is described by Vidyapati as the happiness one derives from seeing a drop of water in the desert. The desert is heated by scorching sunshine. If we want to reduce the desert temperature, we need to use amounts of water, millions and millions of gallons. What effect will one drop have? Water certainly has a value, but one drop of water cannot reduce the heat of the desert. In this material world, everything is ambitious, but the heat is very scorching. What will an imaginary castle in the air do to help? Srila Vidyapati, therefore, sang Kaptola Sankarte Vari Bindu Sama Sutta Mita Ramani Samaje. Happiness of family life, friends, and society is compared to a drop of water in the scorching desert. The entire material world is busy trying to attain happiness because happiness is the prerogative of the living being. Unfortunately, due to falling in contact with the material world, the living being simply struggles for existence. Even if one becomes happy for a while, a very powerful enemy may plunder everything. There are many instances in which big businesses suddenly become paupers in the street. Yet the nature of material existence is such that foolish people are attracted to these transactions and forget the real business of self-realization. So here we have a continuation of the miseries of material life. The first verse, this verse talks about jumping into a river, and then the river is too shallow, so therefore one may break one's bones, and one will jump in the river because one is very hot, because of the sunlight, etc. And it's also explained here that one may be short of food, because in the forest there are no grains, so one has to go and try to beg from somebody. And then there are forest fires that crop up in the forest just by chance or accident. And then one will get burned by the forest fire. One may be plundered in different ways. The wealth one has may be stolen by somebody. Of course, that was already mentioned before, where plunderers come and steal things from them. So in this way, he wanders around, and then the next verse describes how he may see a Gandharvapura, which is a city of Gandharvas, which means a very pleasant place, palace to live in, which means that somehow or other we imagine that our situation is very, very nice. Now the nature of a Gandharvapura is it is an illusion and suddenly it disappears on you. So the idea here is that we get momentary enjoyment and then it suddenly disappears. So this causes great misery to a person. So these are a whole list of these things you can mention one after the other, the different conditions. And of course, the conditions in the forest are compared to conditions in material life. So for instance, the falling in the river, or jumping in the river, is compared to the frustrations of material life. And one is wandering around in the forest and he sees an image like a city floating in the sky due to madness. That is the goals we have in the material world, and madly we run after those goals and try to fulfill them. So in this way, the various hardships in the forest are the hardships of material life. So the world itself is compared to a forest sometimes. For instance, we have a Dala Nala Lila Loka in the song of Vishnu Chakrabarti, the forest fire in the material world. The material world is a forest and it's set on fire, and that means the living entities are trapped in that fire and they must suffer burns. Tapa, of course, means burning, but it means in general suffering. So tapasya, which means austerity, means that one voluntarily accepts suffering. So the forest fire means that we're trapped in the material world and we cannot get out, and at the same time we have to meet the forest fire, that is, we have to suffer. We are forced to suffer in the material world. So of course there is a choice, do we want to be in the forest or not? Once we get in the forest, then it is subjected to a forest fire, or the other types of miseries also are there. So once we go into the forest, yes, we have to suffer. Now do we have to choose the forest at all? That is the question. And the answer is no, we don't. But once we get in the forest, it looks as if we're trapped there and we can't get out. Of course, by our choice, we remain there because we hope that we will get some enjoyment there. At the same time, we meet the suffering. So there is a balance between the suffering and the enjoyment. So the material world is such that Maya is strong enough that the sense of enjoyment usually predominates. And therefore, we tolerate the suffering and we keep insisting on getting the enjoyment in the material world. But this, of course, is illusion. So that is exactly what this example is showing. though it looks like enjoyment, actually that enjoyment isn't real, and therefore it's another type of suffering. So this balance between enjoyment and suffering in the material world actually is false, and it's all suffering. But we don't realize that. So therefore, an example like this is given, which harshly presents all the different tribulations the person goes through to get his little bit of temporary happiness, which is like, hey, Gandharva city in the sky, which temporarily is there and then disappears and causes more misery. So the unfortunate position of the jiva is that he gets stuck in this material world, which is like the forest, and due to his desires and the power of maya, he continues to stay here forever. And each lifetime he hopes that he'll get a little better position with more balance of happiness than suffering. That's his aspiration in the material world. This, of course, is, as I said, illusory, because it can never be that we'll get a perfect situation of happiness in the material world. Everything is temporary. So as long as one is in this forest, one will continue to be afflicted by something. And one may get rid of the animals or something, but there's always something else which will cause affliction in the forest. So similarly in the material world, no matter how perfect we try to make it, there will always be some cause for suffering. Why? Because everything is ultimately temporary. Even if we get rid of all the threats, still, whatever we have is temporary. Body is temporary, and all the objects of our enjoyment are temporary. So therefore, our enjoyment ends. So then we suffer. So until we realize that, we will continue in the material world. And the ignorance of the jiva and the desire to enjoy here is so strong that usually the jiva never understands this hopeless situation. And therefore, as I said, the jiva is a nadi-bhagra-mukha. Without beginning, he is conditioned by the material world and takes birth here under the illusion that he can be happy. So that avidya has no beginning. So the jivas are here in life after life. They simply strive for that happiness and their ignorance. Now it can be removed. That is the promise of scripture. But first, a person must be convinced that he must get out of this material world. So that is one of the first goals of scripture, to tell us that the material world is miserable, therefore we have to get out. Therefore we have a story like this. Jagvara is telling this to Rahugana to convince him that his position as a king in the material world, though it looks like it's enjoyable, is actually not very enjoyable at all. This is just another version of living in this forest. And so the first goal of Shastra is to convince people that material life is ultimately hopeless. And therefore, we have to get out of the material world. So this is step one. The material world is miserable, therefore I should get out. Step two, of course, is to convince you once you get out, what is there? It's going to be miserable again. Why get out of the material world if you're going to suffer there? So the answer is no. Once you get out of the material world, you stop the misery. So material world is miserable, we should get out. And therefore, when we get out, we will have more misery. So this is what we call liberation. Stop the process of birth and death. That is step number one. So a lot of scripture will concentrate on this, convincing us that the material world is useless and therefore we should get liberated and get free from all this pain. So that is why the, for instance, the Varnashram system concentrates on mukti. Let's get out of the material world finally. It doesn't talk about bhakti and prema, it just says get out of the material world. So therefore, it's not a complete system, but it's a beginning. So this is what Gyan does. as opposed to karma yoga. Karma yoga is compromising and keeping us in the material world, and jnana is the idea that we have to get out. And it convinces us by showing the miseries of the material world and showing the peace that results when we stop the material world. That is liberation. But this, of course, is not a complete picture again. It's only partial. So stopping the material world and birth and death, and stopping the miseries, is one type of happiness. But then there's another type of happiness, and that is, once we stop the miseries and the rebirth of the material world and all the material enjoyment, then there is another happiness, and that happiness is derived from serving the Supreme Lord and developing a relationship of devotion to the Supreme Lord. That happiness is even better than the happiness of stopping material existence. So to do that, one must recognize the Supreme Lord and a process to approach, and that is bhakti. So therefore, there are two stages. One is negation of the material world, and all the scriptures to support that and convince us of the temporary nature of everything. And the other is to convince us of the existence of the Supreme Lord and his wonderful form and qualities and activities, and help us develop an attraction for that. So these are the two basic aims of scripture. To convince us to get out of the material world, and second, to help us develop attraction for the Supreme Lord. So this portion here, where Jhana Maharaj is speaking in this chapter, is all about negating the material world, and all these different details he's giving. Why he does this is because people are not easily convinced. So therefore he has to give one example after the other of the miseries. So therefore, in the forest, there's lots of miseries, so therefore he goes through all the things in the forest and he shows all the miserable things that can happen in the forest. And similarly, in material life, all sorts of miserable things can happen. So this is only for the purpose of rejecting material life and material body and material happiness, and stopping this existence. And once we've done that, then we can develop our attraction for the Supreme Lord. Well, we're talking about before they go to the spiritual world?
Yes.
In any case, the devotee is superior, even if he's not liberated from material conditions, even if he hasn't attained prema or even bhava, still the devotee is superior to the jnani who's liberated. Because his goal ultimately will be much greater. So the happiness, of course, if we want to compare happiness, the happiness of the jnani in liberation is that he has stopped all material miseries. Now, the devotee in the material world may not have stopped all material miseries, because we still have karmas going on, a reflection of karma, or some shadow of karma still affecting, he still has a material body, etc. However, in spite of that, the devotee is not affected by that. He's not attached to the tribulations of the material body at all. And though he has not developed ananda, which is only manifested in bhava and prema, still he derives a reflection of that in sadhana. In other words, there is some gradual development with the atma of attraction to the Lord, which results in satisfaction. This turns into ananda, which is much greater than the bliss of liberation in bhava and prema. But still it is there, that ananda, that a reflection of ananda will be there in sadhana bhakti as well. So though he's still afflicted by something in the material world, whatever, and it may not look like he is better than a liberated jnani, nevertheless,
ultimately he's considered to be superior because his goal will be much superior.
வச்சுட்டு